The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 5, reading verses 13 to 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. May God bless this reading of his holy word. And we now have an anthem by the choir titled Angel Voices Ever Singing.
part of this one. This is really interesting actually because it's about just everything coming together. The choir would welcome any new members, and when you hear the choir like that, you understand the power of music to really lift people's souls and people's hearts. And you don't need to be brilliant, do you, Alison? We need to be able to read music. No. So you don't, there you go. You don't even need to be able to read music. Seriously though, if any of you are sitting there thinking, you know, I'm quite like decent with that slide, have a word with Alison or anyone in the choir and come and give it a go, because the only way we can sustain the future of music in church is if people join in. That's the only way we're going to be able to sustain things going forward. And it could be you who could be part of that. So think about it, pray about it, and if you want to know more, then please ask about it as well. May the words of my mouth and the meditation and reflection of all of our hearts be pleasing in the sight of God, our rock and our redeemer. Hopefully, as you come in this morning, you see a little sachet of salt. Now, I had a dilemma this week when I was purchasing these, because Mr. Internet could let me purchase no salt, which is probably better for you, or genuine salt. So you've got genuine salt. And if you've lost it, don't worry, because there's plenty more. I've got many more in the nursery, so you can ask me for them. We're going to come to that a little bit later on in our service as part of a prayer of dedication and an action that I hope you will all do this week. But very well-known passage that Alan read to us from God's Word this morning, where Jesus is addressing the crowd and he uses two pictures, one of salt and one of light. And he says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Now, the word we're going to share mostly about this morning is salt. Believe it or not, there is somebody who's actually written a book called Salt, A World History. But it actually, if you know anything about the commodity that salt is, you'll know why such a book was written. The author of this book writes, from the beginning of civilization until about 100 years ago, salt was one of the most sought-after commodities in human history. The ancients believed that salt would ward off evil spirits. Often, religious covenants were sealed with salt. Salt was used for medicinal purposes, to disinfect wounds, to check bleeding, to stimulate thirst, to treat skin diseases. Roman soldiers, and I'm sure many of you know, were paid in salt, hence our English word, salary. Now this was a slightly odd one, and I wasn't going to, but I'll share it with you anyway. According to the book, brides and grooms rub salt on their bodies to enhance fertility. I don't know. Around 10,000 years ago, dogs were first domesticated using salt. People would leave salt outside their homes to entice the animals. And of course, for centuries, it was used for refrigeration. It was essential for food preservation. Now, of course, today, when we think of salt, there's all these fancy ones you get now, you know, your rock salt, your Himalayan rock salt, all these fancy ones. We still use salt to accentuate flavour, it melts the ice and softens water. It can be used to gargle in our throats. Do you remember? Oh my goodness, my mother used to make us do that. If we had a sore throat, we had to gargle with salt water, which nearly always ended up in being sick anyway. If we didn't have enough salt in our bodies, our bodies would die. But here's the strange paradox. If you don't have enough, you die. But if you have too much, you die as well. Now, hold on to all of that, because it helps very much to explain the depths to which this metaphor that Christ used can be taken. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. This is not what we're supposed to be or what we could be. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. We are that which will enhance or embitter, soothe or irritate, melt or sting, preserve or ruin. For better or for worse, you and I are described as the salt of the earth. And what we do with our saltiness matters. So firstly, we're salt. But secondly, we're very precious. In our day today, salt is relatively inexpensive. That is not the case down through history, and certainly not for those who were listening to Jesus' words when he first spoke them. At that time, salt was priceless. It was a precious, precious commodity. And so in saying to people, you are the salt of the earth, he was saying something important about their value and their worth. That we are precious, each one of us. But just as salt, we can use that saltiness for good or for bad. We are salt. We are precious. And some of us find that quite a difficult thought to hold on to, that we have a worth and a value. Sometimes in our communities, we lose that sense of our worth and value, perhaps because we've had a partner or a parent who's put us down all the time. And the more that you're put down in words or by actions, the more you begin to believe the lie that you're told. And if that's you or somebody you know, it is a lie, because we are of infinite worth and value, whatever anyone else might say or try to insinuate about us. The third thing here is that salt needs to be scattered for it to be any use at all. Writing about this, Pastor David Thompson says this: salt isn't meant to cluster, it's meant to give of itself. It's meant to share its unique flavour in order to bring out the best in all its surroundings. I love that. Don't you love that? Isn't that brilliant? That we are to share ourselves in a way that brings out the best in everyone round about us. And yet, why is it so often we share ourselves in a way that brings out the worst in people round about us? She says, this means that if we want to enliven, enhance, deepen and preserve the world we live in, we must not hide within the walls of our churches. We must not cluster and congregate simply for our own comfort. Isn't that interesting? Because that's kind of what we do. We like to cluster together with those that are similar to us. And we like to be safe in these walls. But what this is all about is about spreading. It's about us going from here to the schools we work in, the hospitals, the offices, the building sites, to go to the places we go day in and day out, the shops, the care centres, the neighbours and the friends. And as we are scattered Sunday by Sunday, so we take with us our saltiness into the world. And sometimes that saltiness will add a particular flavour in a place. Sometimes that saltiness will be there to bring healing. Sometimes that saltiness will be to bring purity. Sometimes that saltiness, well, you can go on and on what the saltiness might be used for. When I was a student, back in the first time around in the 80s, there was a book that we were all told to read in the Christian Union, and it was written by an American woman called Rebecca Manley Pippert. And her book was called Out of the Salt Shaker. And I remember reading this book and being completely captivated by this woman, by her stories. She would talk about how she would sit in a train and get to know the person next to her and listen to their stories. And she was just full of a sense of all the opportunities that we have in life to bring hope and healing. This is one of her pieces from that book. Jesus wants us to see that the neighbour next door, or the people sitting next to us on the bus, or the train, or the plane, or in a classroom, are not interruptions to our schedule. They are there by God's divine appointment. For we are called to see their needs, their loneliness, their longings. God wants us to reach out, to spread the love of his kingdom wherever we scatter to. It's a really powerful picture, isn't it? And I think it's a very practical picture of just what it means to be a follower of Christ. Think about your life for a moment. I have done this before, but let's not use Monday. Let's try and exercise you and think, where are you going to be on Wednesday afternoon this week? The dentist, did somebody say? Yeah, someone said today. If Wednesday's a bad choice, make it Thursday afternoon. It doesn't really matter, it's fine. Now, the little salt sash you can draw, put it into the centre of your hands. Just don't open it up, just put it in the centre of your hand, because if you open it up, you'll tend to eat it and it's not good for you. Right. Too much of it clustered together is not good for you. So, let's think about this. Let's lay it into the palm of our hand. Let's lay our other hand on the top of our hand. And let's think about the people that we might be seeing on whichever day you've chosen this week. Or maybe it's a situation that we're going into in our work that is particularly trying or challenging for us. Or maybe it is a difficult appointment that we're going to be facing this week, whatever it might be, or a conversation with someone. And hear Christ say to you, you are the salt of the earth. Think about the conversation, or the situation, or the people, and think about what it might mean for you to be salt in that place. And there's a wonderful thing that you can do with this, because what I want to encourage you to do is, in a moment, I'm going to pray, but I want to encourage you to take that little sash of salt away with you. And to use that in prayer this week. But then as you get towards the end of the week, instead of reaching for the salt shaker of your own house, reach for that instead. And tear the top off it and sprinkle it over your foot. And as it falls, pray that every time God leads you forward into every situation, that you would be salt. But before we pray, there is a warning. And it's an important warning. Too much salt ruins a meal. Have you ever cooked a lovely casserole or a lovely pot soup? You've had a taste and you've thought, needs a bit of salt. You've reached for the salt, you've turned it upside down, and then the head's come off and it's gone, whoa! And no matter how much you try and doctor it, if too much salt gets in there, it doesn't come out again. It ruins, it destroys. And I think there's a very powerful warning for us as God's people. And it's got two sides to it as a warning. First of all, there's a warning against being too bland. Because sometimes we're a bit bland. We like to keep our faith kind of hushed. It's my story. This is not for other people to know that I go to church or that I do this or I do that. So sometimes we're in the danger of being too bland and embarrassed about the faith that we hold. But equally so, we have to be very careful not to be oversalty. And in that, what we're doing is we're honouring the fact that we are salt to go into the world, but the way that we are salt matters. And that we have to be careful in our words and in our actions. Let me read this to you. Christian saltiness heals. It doesn't wound. It purifies. It doesn't desiccate. It softens. It doesn't destroy. Even when Christian saltiness has an edge, even, for example, when it incites thirst, it only draws the thirsty towards the living water of God. We are the salt of the earth. That is what we are, for better or for worse. We are precious to God, and God loves us and calls us to love deeply those around us. And as salt, we are called to be scattered so that we can be the saltiness that God needs in the world to bring healing, purity, softness, and to draw people to the one who is the source of all life. So with that little sachet of salt, with our hands on top, let us pray. Loving God, we, each one, are the salt of the earth. And as we hold this little portion of salt in our hands this morning, we pray for the situations we will find ourselves in this week, conversations that we will need to have, tasks we will need to perform, places we will need to go. Save us from being too salty, but save us also from holding back. And help us to be flavour in a world that so desperately needs that flavour of your love, mercy, and peace. And Lord, later this week, as we open that little sachet of salt and as we pour it onto our food, help us to be prayerful and to keep on being prayerful that you might take us and use us to bring your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to continue that prayer. We're going to remain seated and sing together number 567. Remain seated and sing together prayerfully. Number 567. And Alec will continue playing at the end of this song. And I would ask after we've sung it, if those who are uplifting our offering could stand up and uplift our offering at that point. But we'll sing together.